Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and it's always a blessing as you come into the church, and we appreciate all of those that make the music program what it is, from the instrumentalists as well as the specials, and everyone that participated in that. It's just a blessing to come and to be ministered to in song. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7. I've been studying on Wednesday nights the life of Noah, and wow, there has been so many great truths revealed about the world before the flood, and just what took place, how long it was. I mean, there was 1,600 years, 16 centuries of reproduction on planet Earth before the flood. And understand that God revealed the genealogies of only two during that time. The godly seed of Seth and the ungodly seed of Cain. And then what corrupted the world was the two coming together. And the ungodly seed of Cain had more of an influence over the godly seed of Seth. And as they had more influence, then slowly but surely, the direction of humanity started going opposite the will of God. And it continued to get worse and worse until we find after 1,660 years, we find that Noah is now on the scene, and God instructs Noah as to what his plans would be and how he would destroy the world with a flood. And he instructed Noah on what his part would be. And so we've been looking at a lot of those things, and it's just something else to be able to see it there. And last week we studied in chapter 6, verse 22, it said, "This did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And for 120 years, there was 120 years it took Noah to build the ark. And then in chapter 7 is where we started last week. It says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." So after 120 years, it was finally time, and we studied that last week, that God called Noah into the ark. And he didn't say, "Go into the ark." He said, "Come into the ark," which referred to the fact that God was in the ark and had Noah come on the ark with him. And the ark was symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, our place of refuge, and what God has provided for us. God's design to save humanity. God's design to save Noah and his family was seen in the ark, which symbolized what God's plan for all humanity in being saved is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for 120 years, Noah stayed focused on serving the Lord through building the ark. And we studied some things concerning that. I trust it was a help to you last week. Tonight we're going to be looking at chapter 7 and carrying on, starting in verse 7, and we're going to read down to verse 16 after what takes place now. God tells Noah to come into the ark. But God reveals something to us here that I think would be a help to us as we have practical applications to apply to our lives even today. So stand with me this evening, and let's read verse 7 down to verse 16. "And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, and the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. They went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again tonight, we thank you for this opportunity that you made available to all of us, and then for each one's desire to come and take advantage of the opportunity to be here tonight. And I pray, God, that as we have already been blessed by just being in this place this evening, thank you for that. But as we open up the scriptures and we study the life of Noah, and Lord, want to learn not only the historical truths, but these biblical principles that we can apply to our own lives tonight. And I pray that each one here would have an ear to hear what you have to say to them. Pray that you'd empower the preaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, Noah, the Bible says, and we've studied this, he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. He was to build the ark, and as he would build the ark, he was to have a testimony before all humanity of the person of God and righteousness before God. And he was that. He developed that testimony, no doubt, as we read in New Testament some of the things that the Bible says about Noah. But in doing that, Noah had a desire for all to listen to what he was preaching. I think every preacher worth his salt, when he preaches, he wants people to take heed to what he is preaching. And if there needs to be a decision made, that they would make that decision. And the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Even in a day and age when there was no one living righteous, and the world was corrupt from every angle, Noah continued to preach and had a desire for humanity to listen and repent of their sins. Even though he would do this for 120 years, Noah could not reach the world. Somewhat like Jeremiah, preaching to the nation of Israel, and he didn't see one convert. And yet he still preached as the fire in his bones. I mean, he couldn't stop preaching. He had to get it out. He had to preach righteousness. He had to preach the truth. Even though no one took heed to what he was saying, to the word of God, and they continued to live as if there was no God, and they continued to do their thing, and whatever the world wanted to do, that's how they lived their lives. But God wanted them to continue to preach. And even though Noah did not reach one person outside of his family and the three daughters that his sons married, and at some point we'll get into a little bit more of that, but not one convert outside of his own personal family. Couldn't reach the world. But let's flip that around, though. Couldn't reach the world, but Noah reached his family. There was not a one of his family members that did not get on the ark. There was not a one rebellious son. He didn't have any daughters. My mother, she had 7 boys and 6 girls, and she used to say, if I had my rathers, I would have all boys. She said, boys are easier to raise than girls. Now, she ought to know, amen? I mean, my goodness. But I don't know, you might, we didn't have any sons, we had daughters, and so I can't tell her whether or not they were easier or not. I won't even comment any farther on that, but I might get in trouble tonight. Noah reached his family. He wanted to reach the world. He wanted everyone who would come under the preaching of the Word of God to listen to the message of God and apply it to their lives. I don't preach just to be preaching. I preach for results. I preach the Word of God because I know the Word of God is what people need. And if they will just apply the Word of God to their lives, it will make a difference in their lives. And not only in their lives, but in generations to follow. Amen. Noah's family, what I want you to see here is Noah's family followed Noah into the ark. In verse 7, the Bible says here, and Noah went in. Now, God was there and he told Noah to come in. It's time. The first one on the ark, the first one that went into the ark was Noah. Knowing that was what God, where God was at, that what God had prepared for them to save them from the flood. And Noah himself went in, the Bible says, and following Noah, the Bible says, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark. They went in with him. Verse 13, it says, in the selfsame day when God said it's time to enter the ark, because Noah had been obedient to God all along, the very time, as soon as Noah realized when God said it's time, it's been 120 years in coming, Noah, today's the day. As soon as we find that Noah heard God tell him that it was time, the Bible says, and the selfsame day entered Noah, and the selfsame day entered Shem, and the selfsame day entered Ham, and the selfsame day entered Japheth, and the selfsame day entered the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They all were obedient to God's call. The ark would represent salvation and refuge. And once they got on the ark, I love this. In verse 16, the Bible says, the Lord shut him in. Didn't say that he focused on shutting out everybody else. That was not the purpose of him shutting him in. The purpose was to seal that which came to him. But in sealing that which came to him, others had waited too long. There was no more time remaining for them to get on the ark. It's too late once the floods started. It's too late when they realized that what Noah had been preaching all along was truth. It's too late. But God shut him in. A person gets saved, he gets sealed until the day of redemption. Praise the Lord for that. So the question is, how? What did Noah do? What was the recipe for success? Every parent ought to have a desire to know how Noah was able to do this. We're told that in a world that we're living in today, it's impossible to raise godly children. It's impossible for teenagers to be righteous. It's impossible to do this. It's impossible to do that. It's impossible to get people committed to church when the church doors are open as the will of God is revealed to us. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, you can't really expect us today in the 21st century with all the other responsibilities and everything else going on around us. You can't really expect us to be obedient to everything that God tells us to do. Doesn't matter if I expect it or not. What really matters is what God expects. As far as we know, God did not speak to anyone other than Noah. He didn't speak to Noah's wife. He didn't speak to any one of Noah's children. As far as we know, there is no account in the scriptures where God actually spoke to anyone else other than Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, and God said unto Noah, there's no doubt that God spoke to Noah. He revealed to Noah his will for his life and his family's life and the lives of all the humanity was on the face of the earth. Didn't speak to anyone other than Noah. The world would have been no doubt a tough place to raise a godly seed. Because the Bible says in chapter 6, and we've thoroughly studied this before, so I'm not going to go back into a lot of it, but he says in verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. all flesh. They had corrupted their ways. They had turned away from God, and they were all doing whatever it was that they wanted to do, living as if there was no God. A very corrupt place to raise a family. So what did Noah do? The first thing that we find in the life of Noah that allowed Noah to reach his entire family is that he pointed his family to a higher authority. Chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. He was a spiritually mature individual in that the Bible says right after that, that Noah walked with God. And as Noah walked with God, the Bible says, and he begot three sons. As he was having children, he was walking with God. As he was having children, he had a desire for them to know his God. From birth, Noah would have shared his faith with his family. No doubt about that. We study this and we understand he would not have been a righteous man. God would not have said those things about Noah if he was not committed to his faith. Because how could he reach the world if he didn't, first of all, reach his family? How could he preach to others if he failed to preach to his own family? You see, the preaching of the Word of God, first of all, starts here. Before I can preach the message that God has placed upon my heart, I've got to know that I have yielded to that message. How can I tell others something they ought to be doing if I am not doing it myself? I would not be perfect and I would not be just in God's eyes if I was a hypocrite. If I stood up here and told you to do something and then I would go out and do something just the opposite. Noah could not preach and be a preacher of righteousness without, first of all, preaching to himself and to his family. Didn't have a Bible at this time. Couldn't tell Shem, Ham, and Japheth, go in your room and read your Bible. Couldn't say, you're going to Sunday schools this Sunday morning, you're going to church, you're going back Sunday night, and you're going back Wednesday night. Couldn't tell them that. You're going to be actively involved in the youth ministries, and you're going to be actively involved in outreach ministries, and you're going to be doing everything that I want you to do. The church is something that I've designed to help parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so you're going to take advantage of what I have established for you to be a help to you. He couldn't do that. Wasn't any churches. After almost 1,700 years, the only true church, there might have been religion, no doubt there were, but there was only one true church. That was Noah. He had the truth. He was the only one that God saw that was righteous in his sight. Didn't have a Bible, but he would have had Bible stories. I'd love to heard some of the Bible stories that Noah was able to share with his family. Creation would have been a great one. Because Noah's grandfather would have been around and had an opportunity to talk to Adam himself. Talk about a family tree you wanted to look at. He could say, you know, Grandpa told me this that Adam told him personally. He told him about Enoch. Let me tell you the story about your relative Enoch. some point, God just took him out of this earth. He never experienced death. He was just taken on to heaven. He would have told them and said, do you know that your grandpa Methuselah was 969 years old when he died? Wow, I can see the kids. Whoa. 969. Brother Randy McGath tells me he's always been 10 years younger than I have been. He was in my youth department when I was a youth pastor. And he's always been 10 years behind. He says, you know, I've always looked to you because I can see where I'm going to be in 10 years. He said, so as long as you're continuing to do things that gives me hope to know, then I can still do it for another 10 years. What about somebody who says, do you know you're 969 years old and you're only 200 years old? You've got a long time ahead of you. Things were different then. We know that before the flood and the destruction of the world, and men lived longer. Humanity had a longer lifespan, and everything was designed for that. But he would be able to tell them that. He would explain what the ark was. That's all they knew. Our girls were raised in church. They didn't know there was any other churches out there. Now, they would be taught different denominational doctrines and different things, but the only church that they would experience was Lighthouse Baptist Church, basically. And they would, in their own minds, especially as children, they would think, well, everybody does things this way. Noah's children would not have known anything other than the work on the ark. Their whole lives were, first of all, watching Dad work on the ark. And then watching our older brother work on the ark. And then watching the two older brothers. And then all the family getting involved. And everybody having a part of working on the ark for 120 years as he was raising them. That's all they knew. And Noah was sure to tell them every time, this is God's design. I can't really tell you how it's going to turn out. All I'm doing is following the blueprints. I can't tell you what I don't know. I've never built an ark before. But I have a close walk with the one that understands it all. Yes, amen. And every time he would tell them stories about Adam or stories about any of the relations, relationships in their lives, he would say, and this is their connection to God. He would point them to a higher authority than himself. I trust that my wife and I, that's what we were trying to do in raising our children in church. We wanted them to see that the reason we're raising you a certain way is really a higher authority than our own. It's just not how I want to raise you, although it is the way I want to raise you because I want to please the Lord. But we are instructed by God, a higher authority than any other authority on this planet Earth. He pointed them to a higher authority. Listen to me. Our children need to be taught to obey the laws of the land. And they need to be taught the certain things that they need to be taught in order to be able to live in society. But they, more than any of that, they need to be taught that there's a higher authority. Amen. That is what has been taken away from our generation today. Right. Never fail to tell your children, we're going to church because of a higher authority. Amen. We're reading our Bibles. We have Bibles in the home because of a higher authority. We pray before we eat because of a higher authority. We dress the way we dress, and we abstain from the things that we abstain because of a higher authority. That's the first thing we find, I believe, that Noah did. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think this is something that God gave all of those that wanted to raise their children to turn out right. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the instruction to the children of Israel as they went into the promised land. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God. Every leader always said, it's coming from God, not me. I'm just a servant. I'm just a messenger. Every parent needs to realize you're not the highest authority. You're the servant of God raising your children according to His plan. Which your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, thou and thy son and thy son's son, in all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You need to teach them to your children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Wow. How far have we come from that? I believe that's what Noah did. Children need to be taught about God. When Christ was walking on the face of the earth, and we don't have time to go there, but His disciples was trying to keep the children from Him. And the Bible says He was very displeased with them. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Children need to be taught about me. Children need to understand that there's a higher authority. If they understand that there's a higher authority, they might look to that authority and live differently than they do in the world. When they look to themselves as being the highest authority. Second thing, point them to a higher authority. Second thing, I love this about Noah. He led by example. Go back over with me. Chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says, and Noah did Noah according to all that God commanded him. What God told him to do, that's what he did. Chapter 7, and verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Chapter 7, and verse 9, then went in two and two unto Noah, unto the ark, and male, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Chapter 7 and verse 16. And they went in, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, and as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Obedience is the best testimony we can give others. You should point people to God and tell them there's a higher authority. Then they need to see it. What a difference it makes in our lives when we acknowledge a higher authority. And obedience is the best testimony. He didn't send them into the ark, He led them into the ark. Can I tell you that God does not give any commandments that are unimportant or that are meaningless. There's a purpose for every commandment of God. There is a reason that God has commanded it. Therefore, Every command needs to be obeyed. But yet we find ourselves knowing the commandments of God, but excusing them away by the society that we live in, by the busyness of our everyday lives. There's a reason that God commanded us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and even so much the more as it gets harder and harder to be able to raise our children with the influences of society upon their lives. They need to have a greater influence of the church. And not only should we take advantage of when the doors are open, it says at the end times when things are getting worse, we might need to even have more services, more opportunities to be together, to be able to be an encouragement one to another and admonish one another, and to be able to help our children to see the truths of God. Wow. And lead by example. The best way to lead is just by obedience. Higher authority? Tell him that, yeah. If he's really a higher authority, then you would expect to obey him rather than man. You expect to want to please him more so than your family members. We would expect to please him more so than our bosses. We would expect to want to please him more than just about anybody if he is the highest authority. And we believe that if God be with you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Amen. So Noah pointed them to a higher authority. Noah led by example. And the last thing is, we're running out of time. Noah had control over what he allowed to influence his family. Something that he had no control over of others. He was a preacher of righteousness, and for 120 years, not only did he continue to work on the ark and to do everything that God told him to do, being obedient, but he was obedient to being a witness to others. But why could he not reach any others in the world? He had no control over what the others were being influenced by. How could he reach all of his family? He had all the control over what influenced his own family's lives. Wow. We need to stop and think about that for a little while. Influences do matter. What our children see, what our children hear, it will make a difference. I believe he kept him very busy in doing what God commanded him to do. Can I tell you? Our children are going to be active. The older they get, the less dependent they want to be on mom and dad, and the more active they want to be. The wise parent does not try to keep them inactive. The wise parent directs them in their activities. Allows them to be actively involved in things that are going to influence them for the cause of Christ. Yeah. I believe that as soon as those boys could pick up a hammer, go over there and start knocking that piece of wood in place. Sam, Ham, and Japheth, I can just see them. They're little boys over there with that hammer over there hitting on that wood. Time to put the pitch on. I bet they were as black, had pitch all over them before the day was over. And Mrs. Noah, I can't believe you got that all over you again. Now I've got to scrub you down again. You know, get in the tub. They lived everyday lives like we do. Don't forget that. They were the same as what we are. Humanity, God created us as adults, There's no difference. We didn't evolve into what we are now. God created us as we are today. They had lives as we have lives. They had marriages. They had the very same things that we have to deal with. The world was so much worse then. It's getting close and closer and closer to that today. I don't think it will ever be as bad as it was then because we have the influence of the church. In this church age, as long as the church is allowed to be here and the Holy Spirit of God is here in our midst as well, convicting of sin and doing all that, it will never get as bad as what it was there until the church is raptured. And when the church and the Holy Spirit has been taken out of this place, this is going to be one ugly world during the tribulation period. Praise the Lord for the influence of Christianity. The world does not understand how Christianity has impacted society and humanity for the last 2,000 years. It's the only thing that has governed this world. And the more we get turning against Christ, which has been warned, it's called anti-Christ, anti what Christ taught concerning marriage, anti what Christ taught concerning family, anti what Christ taught concerning church, every area of life, it's going to get worse. That's why it's so important that the true church continues to maintain a testimony for Christ. There was much immorality. There was much violence. There was rebellion from God. So the question is, do we really know what we're allowing our families to be influenced by today? How busy are you, parent? Do you know what influencing your children when they watch television? Do you know what's influencing your children when they go to school? Do you know what's influencing your children in your neighborhood? On the computer? And what they're reading? The key to Noah, I believe, pointing them to a higher authority. Leading by example. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. But controlling what's influencing your home. Amen. The reason he could not reach the world, he could not control what was influencing them. And they were more apt to yield to the influence of the world than to the influence of a preacher preaching righteousness. And that's not changed today either. I can tell the ones, not only the teenagers, but adults as well, that are given to the influence of the world more than the influence of the church when they come to church. It's obvious. It's obvious. They don't come with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. They don't come to get in. They come to get out. They don't come prepared to receive from the Lord through His plan of preaching His word. And it's evident. Those who want to be influenced are those who want to come to church, who come with an expectation of hearing preaching. Amen. Meeting with the Lord, being blessed, leaving with something that will help me to live for Christ. In closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do we know what our children are being influenced by? And what it will do to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and verse 34. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, which was a lot of corruption in the church. Now, what he says here in verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communications You're seeing it. You're hearing it. You're around it. You experience it. You're being influenced by it. It will corrupt good manners or godly lifestyle. It'll corrupt how you live your life. And then he says this, awake to righteousness. Open your eyes. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Noah reached his family. Understanding that ought to motivate every parent to say, I want to learn from that man. I want to learn what he knew. I want to know what he knew. I want to follow in his footsteps. I might not be able to reach the world, but if I can just reach my family, if I can make a difference in their lives, it's all been worth it. It's all been worth it. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.